I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Present.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
We have a quorum, Mayor.
Thank you. I would accept a motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So I accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is public comments. So please state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. And I will have Brenda mute you if you run beyond the 3 minutes. And Justin Wortman has asked to speak for public comments. Justin.
See if I can get everything started here. My tech guy leaves something to be desired. So can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council members. I'm Justin Wortman. I'm a senior project manager with Oak Point. And my comments tonight are twofold. First, I just wanted to say thank you to the council and the mayor and staff for all the work you've been doing on the lease issue. I've sat in on some of the discussions that you all have had, and I've seen how deliberate and thorough the consideration has been. So I just wanted to start off by saying thank you for the considerable time and effort that you've already spent on this issue. And second, I'd love to invite you to spend even more time thinking about leasing and space issues. As the city grows and its staffing needs change, Oak Point would welcome the opportunity to start a discussion with the city about ways that we might be able to help the city meet its future needs. There's been some discussion about the city issuing some sort of request for proposals or request for information. We'd be more than happy to respond to that, or we could have more informal discussions. As you all know, there's a 5-year lease on the agenda tonight. So assuming that passes, as we all know, 5 years will go by quickly. So if Oak Point can start discussing ways that we might be able to help the city meet its needs soon, we'd really like to do that. So thanks for the time tonight, and thanks again for your efforts. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wishing to make public comments? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. So the next item on the agenda is our preliminary budget public hearing. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Pleased to be with you tonight. This is our first public hearing on the budget document itself. We've had four previous work study meetings where we've gone over with council, one in September 24th, October 22nd and 27th, and then one on the property tax on November 5th. And I just want to say that the budget has been available. We've advertised it for our required two weeks. It's been available on the city website under finance. The budget is available and it's in balance for all the various funds. But tonight's meeting is really a public hearing for the public to give input. The city always welcomes any public input on the budget, and we're not planning any action tonight on the budget. So with that, I'm available for any questions or I'll turn it over to the mayor.
So if there's not any questions of me, I will ask Kristen Bryant asked to speak. I haven't heard from anybody else, but Kristen Bryant turned in her comments and they will probably be more than the 5 minutes allotted. So I will have Brenda mute you at the end of 5 minutes, but we have all been forwarded your comments on the budget. Kristen.
Sure. Hi. So I've been relegated to the back room of the house and the lighting is apparently quite terrible. So sorry about that, but everybody else has other Zooms and activities going on elsewhere. So my name is Kristen Bryant and I am a resident of Bellevue and I grew up in Black Diamond. And I wanted to touch on a couple things. As the mayor mentioned, I sent my comments in and you can read them. Of course, and I just wanted to make a couple of points that are highlights. One is on November 5th, I sent a comment regarding the head wall on Ginder Creek along Roberts Drive. And there were two things that I should mention with that. One is when I started to speak, the mayor felt that the comment was not appropriate to the particular hearing that was being held that night and cut me off. And I thought about that. And while I understood the concern that perhaps it was more of a general budget comment and not a revenue comment, it could have been construed, you know, other ways. Also, people shouldn't be cut off. Sometimes, you know, it's going to happen. And you know that it does where people make a comment that seems a little off the mark. But if you want to have people comment and participate, it goes a long ways to really encourage them and be, you know, kind. And I think that was inappropriate last time. That said, regarding the Ginder Creek head wall, I hope you've had a chance to stop and walk along Roberts Drive and look at it. If now that the vegetation's dying back, you should be able to see how it has moved over the years. And it was built in sections that have slipped and subsided. One downside might be that the water level is getting a little higher, so you can't see how it cuts under the water cuts under the side of the head wall. And the barriers that are there to stop the slipping, you know, require probably some further evaluation and some careful thinking, because that project has been, I checked it, it was on the capital plan as early as 2014. It's been moved back many times and it's a safety concern. And then the second thing is the comments that I send in to you guys tonight regarding the budget. Just, you know, I had pointed out several expenses that some of them were unexpected that came with growth and you can read them. I'd welcome any further conversation. And I do want to clarify the one at the end regarding the school impact fees. There was a calculation that I made a while ago when you were setting the fees in August that the city had left on the table about $7 million over the next 6 years. So while the impact fee was increased somewhat for Oak Point and put in place for everyone else, it wasn't increased to what was allowed under the Oak Point Development Agreement. And that leaves about $7 million. And when you're talking about one school costing $37 million, and then Enumclaw talking about bonds for an additional $60 million as their capital plan shows in the next 6 years. Well, the bond amounts will be to be determined, but those are the capital needs. You know, to leave $7 million sitting on the table and force everyone else to pay for it is difficult. This year, I noticed, I believe the budget says that you are pushing back a sewer rate increase because of COVID and the concerns that might be expensive for some people. How about dividing out the amount that, you know, $7 million you could have collected for school impact fees will cost taxpayers over time? You know, I hope you'll consider that and you can still change that. It's touched on in the budget, as are the other issues that I brought up. Thank you.
So is there anybody else wishing to address this public hearing? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. I didn't know if Scott wanted to address the issue of the head wall. I think that Seth addressed it, that we have the project of the vaults coming up probably next year, and we don't want to have to do a project twice and have to tear it down and redo it. So that's why we moved it back, so that we could do it together with the other projects that we're doing next year for the vaults and on Roberts Drive. And the comment that you made about the fiscal analysis, Oak Point did turn that in early this year, and we have a consultant examining it. I didn't think that our staff had the capability to be able to look at that complicated document and decide if it was correct or not. And so we have a consultant working on it that we should have a result soon. And basically most of your other comments don't really pertain to the budget that's proposed here. But I appreciate you making comments. The next item on the agenda is a resolution regarding the lease for city office space. And we had a work study on Tuesday, and Melissa, we missed you. And so I think that we had a pretty good discussion about it. And I don't know if Melissa, you want to chime in, but I think we were pretty well knew which direction we were going to go today on that.
Thank you, Mayor. I apologize for my absence. I have no excuse. I really, truly just forgot about it. But that being honest, I was able to read the lease agreements again, and I do see that we are looking at a more of a 5-year lease versus an 8-year lease, which I do like. My only concern really, truly right now is just the amount of money going into a building that is not ours, like I stated before, makes me a little bit uncomfortable, but I understand. You know, hopefully maybe in the future we have a chance maybe to purchase that building as the city of Black Diamond would be nice. But again, that might be more conversation in the future with the property owners and what they can offer us. Hopefully that might be in a future conversation. But at this point, you know, as long as, you know, it looks good to me, the 5-year looks good. What else can I say about it? I just hope that we get in there soon enough, I guess, and be able to utilize the full 5 years of that lease. You know, the thing with COVID right now, when are we going to have staff in that beautiful building? We put money into it now. Is it going to be this year? Obviously not. Is it going to be next year? And how long will it take for the maintenance to get into it?
The lease doesn't start till June 1st.
June 1st. And hopefully COVID's then and you guys can all, full staff can go back to work in a building altogether.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because with this new instructions by the governor, they want us to have more people working from home. So we are working towards that end right now to get.
Yeah, so that would be a point where, okay, here we are into what, half the year next year, possibly maybe having more people working from home, but then we're trying to push all our employees into one building, putting money into a building that we don't even own. So we're upgrading a building for somebody else. I understand that the buildings outside are a little under the weather. They probably can use some maintenance. Again, if we're still working from home, you know, who's really in those buildings right now? I mean, I don't know. I'm still a little bit wishy-washy. I don't know how I'm going to vote tonight, but I mean, I like the fact that he came back and said it was a 5-year lease versus the 8-year lease.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. So I think part of the recap of the conversation that happened on Tuesday was kind of an iteration that was also addressed a little bit tonight, that 5 years does go really quickly, but in the very short term, it's true that we don't know what the future holds for capacity and who's going to be moving in with COVID. But in 5 years, who knows what that'll look like? And in 5 years' time, one can hope that all of what's currently in front of us right now is actually behind us when it comes to, you know, people having to stay, you know, working at home due to a pandemic. But yeah, there are a lot of unknowns about who might be ultimately working directly in that building physically. But I do think it's important to remember that many staff members were expressing an interest in working in these buildings, that this would be a huge upgrade for them, that the modular units are not serving the interests of not the best things for them right now in terms of working conditions. And really, if we think about how we move forward as a city, I think it is something to say, this is our city hall building, you know, even if it's temporary, only 5 years. I do think about what that would say for the rest of our community. I do know that part of the conversation circled back to things that we talked about in the work study about the interests in how we especially make, the chairlift a possibility, and otherwise make sure that we are doing whatever we can for, the best accommodations that we can. And I guess I'll also reiterate a little bit what Councilmember Stout was saying, especially that I love just hearing that maybe we could do about the practices for how we hire, so that we are not necessarily hiring based on whether or not we need to accommodate people, but based on folks who are qualified for the job. And I think all of that just came down to the sense that we, after having reviewed the lease, and I think after having had the time to go back after the work study to say, oh, now it's a 5-year agreement, that now we feel like now it's the clock is ticking. Like, we can make this a working solution for now. It's a compromise, I think, for everybody, landlord included. But it seems like of the options we have right now, with time also running out to find a new spot and one that's more affordable, this does seem to be the best option for the time being. After that, we can still continue to find what, people bidding, competing on what might be the best option for us. But at least for 5 years, we have something that I think we can say we feel comfortable about. I think one other thing just to sort of mention that I think was discussed far earlier was that Black Diamond would not be unique in having its City Hall space be rented. Yes, it's not ideal, but there is something I think to also recognizing the fact that with our city growing and changing, I think it's really good that we have time to actually plan forward and think about what would be a more permanent solution for us. But we're in flux right now as a city. We're growing and changing a lot. Perhaps it's also only fitting that our space right now is being rented until we really come to something that I think really speaks to our values, that speaks to the design, that speaks to, I think, a lot of things that would make this a really great working solution long-term for our city. So I feel good with passing it tonight personally, knowing that there's a lot of caveats, that not everything is 100% as everyone wants it to be. But I think right now this is most likely the best possible solution we can have. So that's kind of, I think, part recap and then just partly my opinions on it.
Councilmember Deedy.
Mayor, at the beginning of our conversation with the council, it was asked what would be the cost to stay as is or move into the building. So what would be the comparison to upgrade the buildings that were in currently, whether that's putting a new roof over the buildings that MDART are in and community development and maybe upgrading the trailer up at Public Works. So I didn't hear anything about what that cost was. And Councilmember Oglesby, in her speaking about that, triggered my mind on that, my memory. And the other thing, I think that Sourcey wasn't, if we didn't take an 8-year lease, he was only going to do year by year. Then he came back with the 5-year lease that we heard on Tuesday. So I'm not sure if we heard the report back from staff about here's what it would take to upgrade our failing buildings that we're in currently, here's how much it would cost in comparison with just under $300,000 to upgrade the buildings that the finance is in. So, for myself, it'd be nice to know what that comparison is. But in the meantime, I think, for tonight, we may not get that. But I think moving forward with voting and bringing this in as a contract for 5 years is okay. It could be a year before all staff is in there, you know, with how things are going. I know I heard somewhere, you know, it could be asked of residents to continue wearing masks for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, but nobody really knows about, you know, where COVID is and whether the immunization shot will help or not, and when that all that comes out. I mean, once it comes out, there's still a ton of who gets it first, and then it trickles down to the citizens. So I guess, Mayor, did you hear anything about what it would cost to upgrade, or no, do you know anything?
It's been out all week, and haven't had a chance to even ask him about it.
Yeah, I'm assuming that the cost would still be, you know, at least in the 200,000 range to upgrade, you know, even to move the trailers out and get some new ones in, you know, to get those out, move new ones in, upgrade everything, even build a roof over the top of them. I mean, Public Works is, in my opinion, the most dire with their little trailer that they use up there. So that was just my statement off of what Councilmember Oglesby had to say.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Thanks. Hey, so I'll just make a couple quick points that because I think everybody knows where I stand for the most part. I really think, Councilmember Oglesby, that this is as close as we can get to a win-win situation with a five-year lease. So that we can take care of the immediate needs of the employees. Right now, staying in those modular units there, those portables, it's lipstick on a pig. I don't know how else to say it, but that's what it is. If we tried to upgrade those have outlived their intended lifespan, period. And so the ideal thing I think right now is to be able to expand and get all of the public employees working together in the same building. I think that's the best situation given the circumstances that we're in. For a long-term, the win-win is that it takes time to put that RFP together, and I hope that we don't kick the can down the road any further. This is something that should have happened quite a while ago, in my humble opinion. And we should be looking now if it takes about 3.5 years from the beginning of starting an RFP to actually moving in and occupying a new facility that meets our needs. And that involves engaging with the community, figuring out the financing, getting all that in place, getting it designed, getting it built, and then moving in. That's about 3.5 years. So I think the 5 years buys us some great time for some good planning, some pre-planning, and engaging with the community and figuring out a finance plan, and then moving forward in an informed manner. And so that's the win on the long term. And I really liked, Justin Wertman that talked today. I think that's a good sign that there are developers out there that are hearing us and might be interested in exploring options with us and might want an anchor tenant. And so maybe that helps a little bit there. So I think that's a real positive thing. As far as the existing facility in the 5 year, and I know that there's an ADA issue, and I know I brought that up before too, but I am concerned that we're putting a Band-Aid on there if we put a chairlift up an existing stairway. And I would encourage our facilities capital projects team people to take a hard look at that. You know, chairlift is good if you need to get from one level to another level, if we have people that need that mobility assistance. But if we don't have any employees, it could be an unintended consequence where it impairs egress. You want a certain amount of egress down those stairs to get out of there if there's a fire. And so if we have a bunch of equipment in the stairway that we don't need to have, because we're looking for it a potential employee that might need it. You know, we can put it in later if we needed to, but I would encourage us not to do that if we don't need to. The other thing is, once you're upstairs, you know, if the existing corridors are too narrow, they're not meeting ADA anyway, you don't have the turning radius in the restrooms, there's a lot of other things. So, you know, let's be smart about that and make sure we're really thinking that through, so we're not throwing away money either. But with all that, I really think this is a win-win situation. It's not the best, but given the circumstances, I think it's a lot better than the 8-year locking in for 8 years.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yeah, so kind of to recap what we talked about earlier this week, right? We realize this is not a perfect solution for us, right? This is a temporary solution. It is good enough for now. And I hope that it motivates us to, you know, like I said, maybe put together an ad hoc to start the process for looking for a permanent space or more permanent space, right? And that we can start that process, knowing that that process probably is going to take 4 years at least, right? We need to not wait another year or two. We need to, you know, start that process probably in the new year start putting those requirements together and start talking to developers, and then start talking about, you know, designing space and that kind of thing, so that, you know, 5 years from now, when this lease is up, that we're not having the same conversation and scrambling to figure something else out. And I also want to echo what Councilmember Stout had said last meeting, was that, you know, we really need to hire people based on their qualifications and not on whether we have a chair for them to sit in or we have a way for them to get up the stairs or any of those types of things, right? We really need to make sure that we're making our hiring decisions on the best possible talent, not the best possible talent that might work in the building we're in. We need to make sure that we have the appropriate accommodations for all talent that we might find. And that'll allow us to not only recruit, but also retain the best talent. So that's about it. I'll support its passing tonight.
Councilmember Stout.
I just want to say, on the topic of lease versus purchase of a city hall, I think we have opinions and think that we would like to own a building, but I've never seen any kind of a professional consultancy state that it's better to own a building versus to lease a building. Sometimes having a landlord is a good thing. We also are doing a lot of improvements to the interior of the current building. And my understanding was that the reason the city is putting out the money to do that is because we're being offered this building at a slightly less than market rate rental. And so the landlord was willing to say, you can go ahead and make the changes and I will lease the building to you at a little bit lower rate. So that was my understanding. Maybe I've missed something there. But that's why we were saying that we would be willing to make that investment in the building. As far as the work from home issue is concerned, I don't think that the entire infrastructure of the city operations has gone home to everybody's house. I think our staff is working from home, but the infrastructure of the city is in a building in Black Diamond, or in some buildings in Black Diamond. And that's why the staff has to come in periodically, because there are things that they can't do from home. So I believe the mayor and the department heads have organized staggered work sessions so that people are not, you know, at the building at the same time breathing in each other's faces, but that building is still necessary right now. So just because work from home may go on for another year or so or more, we have no idea. We still need an anchor place to function. All of the electronics and file cabinets and, you know, whatever other stuff that we have in the city to make it operate is still located here in Black Diamond. So, you know, I think the staff hasn't picked up all of that infrastructure and taken it home with them. So while I think we all agree that it's not a perfect solution, and we've had to kind of do a few somersaults to get to the point where we are, I feel like we are at the best place we can be right now. And once again, I would reiterate, I don't want to be the one to tell the staff, you can't move into that building when that's what they want to do. They want to work there. They want to work together and have a better facility that doesn't have a potential roof leaking down on their desk or, you know, in the hallway where they work. And they want to be in that facility. So I hope we can all feel comfortable with what we have arrived at this point, and we can make what we feel is a good decision for the city tonight.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution number 20-1394, approving a new lease for City Hall.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries. So the next item on the agenda is an ordinance adopting revised 2020 salary schedule. Ms. Martinez.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council members. Tonight before you is a housekeeping item that's on the agenda. It is a follow-up to the two actions that were taken last meeting on November 5th, where council adopted the two letters of agreement with the Teamsters Local 117 units regarding the 2020 wage reopeners. The new schedule before you is consistent with those LOAs. So you'll notice that those changes move forward with those actions that have been taken. And also want to remind everybody that those items are retro back to January 1st. So it's basically just reaffirming those two letters of agreement that were adopted at the November 5th meeting. If you guys have any questions, I'm happy to answer anything.
Councilmember De Leon.
Well, I guess with the full understanding that the discussion might still continue, I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number 20-1151, amending the 2020 salary schedule as adopted by ordinance number 20-1149.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Council.
The next item on the agenda is an ordinance adopting percentage property tax increase for 2021. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor, Council again. Tonight you have before you an ordinance regarding property tax. King County requires two ordinances. This is the first one. The first ordinance, we have to specify if there's a dollar amount of increase over the base property tax from last year and what percent that is. As a city of 10,000 residents, we are allowed to have up to a 1% increase. However, King County calculates that increase for us. We did have a work study and a public hearing on this on November 5th. And tonight, this is just the ordinance that passes those two items that King County asked. I do have to mention that I got an email from King County today with an update for the dollar amount. So I'm going to ask that we have a technical correction to the ordinance. In the original ordinance, we had stated $18,000. I think 547, that needs to be corrected in ordinance 20-1152 to 13,577. The percentage is the same. All the other items are the same. That increase is less than 0.75%. It's divided amongst all the residents. And it was an update from King County this morning. With that, I'm available for any questions.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
I think, May, we said that for the typical, and we think our typical size is probably a little even low, right? It was going to be an extra 56 cents a month or something like that.
Yes.
Right. Just so the public understands that, you know, this isn't your tax going up $13,000, right? Yeah. For the typical tax going up. So this is less, this is 0.74 or something like that percent. We were saying, and it's literally right around, it'll probably be less than, 60 cents a month for most. Right.
Yes, thank you. That is correct. It's 0.72, and the 56 cents was based on if it was a full 1%, so it's less than 0.75%, and that's divided amongst all the residents and all the businesses, and it's split out by everyone's assessed valuation.
Right, and we're limited to the 1% ceiling by referendums that were passed a couple years back. By the voters of Washington State.
So. Yes, that's true.
We have any other discussion, or should I just, I'll just make a motion to adopt ordinance number 20-1152, approving the property tax dollar increase in percentage as calculated by King County for 2021.
Do I have a second?
Second. Yeah.
Second.
Any further discussion? Councilmember Oglesby?
Yes, I know. Thank you, Chris, for clarifying the small percentage of this increase to our property taxes. I understand it is a very small increase, but I do feel very passionate in this time of COVID and the many, many small businesses that are family owned and how it affects other family members throughout our community and how it's how it's going right now. At this rate, I honestly feel that any kind of tax increase during this time is not really in the best interest of our residents and our business owners, especially if they're a family business owned and they need that, I know. But I am not in favor of this.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, thank you. I think it is worth pointing out that oftentimes when we don't pass this kind of a 1% increase, which in this case is one of those not even 1% increases, we look for further measures that can feel even more extreme down the line, you know, that to recoup the loss of potential increases to revenue and often cases investments in the community. We might actually be looking at more drastic increases. I guess that's my main purpose in this statement is if we delay this kind of very small incremental kind of increase, should we find ourselves in a position where we need to find extra funds to make our city, our state, our county run, we could be in a worse spot. And it could become more of sort of like that sticker shock for a lot of community members. And I would be worried about the long-term and avoiding that kind of potential situation. As we know, you know, COVID is really devastating right now for untold numbers of reasons. And I do think that's important to think about any sort of, discussions like this with that in mind. I do see the recovery being a very long-term concern and the fallout from what we're currently experiencing being a long time for us to climb out of. And I would be very concerned about delaying sort of like an inevitable, because as we can see right now, we've had a lot of cases where a lot of other expenditures have come up and that we've had to see more, you know, we still need to improve our roads. You know, even with the changes in our driving habits, we're still seeing that. We're still seeing cases where we have to find county and state funds to look after folks like our small businesses who have been struggling a lot. You know, there's been a lot of increases in, you know, demands for, you know, PPE, but also just for keeping, or even just how we make sure that our, people can kind of pay those utility bills or maybe are not having to immediately. And so when I see this kind of an increase that, you know, as said, was maybe about more or less for a lot of people, 60 cents. I do see that as a trade-off and a cost-benefit analysis. So those 60 cents are an investment that would be going back into what we could possibly see for our city's recovery, for our county's recovery. And I do think it is important that we do recognize, you know, that that money does come from us, from our neighbors, and that isn't to be taken lightly. I just worry overall about the long-term consequences, about if we don't chip in a little bit right now, what we might be setting ourselves up more for in the future when we are looking at an even greater gap between, like an even greater shortfall, I guess. So that would be my only other thing to I think add to that discussion.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is an ordinance adopting total property tax dollars for 2021 budget. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. The second ordinance from King County requires is that we set a maximum ceiling of dollars we can collect. They will calculate what the real dollars are once they know all the final new construction and all the final levies and everything, and they will reduce it down to what it really is. But this ordinance sets a possible levy amount of $2,144,976. And that includes some excess money in case they find other property, because they keep sending me changes every day, including every week, including today. And if they find that money, we want to be able to add it to the coffers. That would be for the new citizens and the new construction. So that is one of the items. The second one is that we need to adopt our assessed valuation that they sent to us. And right now, our assessed valuation of all the residents and all the businesses and properties in Black Diamond is $1,105,479,883. That's up about $95 million from last year, but it's less than our increase was last year. That primarily is all due to the new construction of the 10 trails. And that reflect in the additional tax the new residents will be paying. With that, we've had the public hearing on November 5th, and it needs to be adopted and to King County by November 30th. So we're asking for your approval on this ordinance 20-1153 tonight.
I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 20-1153, setting the estimated assessed valuation and maximum property tax dollar amount for 2021 to be used for public safety, including police, fire, and emergency services.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing a contract with AHBL for MDIRT planning services. Mr. Williamson.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council members. Mr. Winoski, I hope you see the shirt that you challenged me to wear. I'm wearing it as part of the Raiders Nation. Thank you.
Go Raiders.
The contract that you see before you to some of the new council members is a consultant contract. It's 100% payable through the MDRT budget. As part of the budget package, you'll see these numbers are already included into our long-term plan. So how we work is we set the maximum rates within the contracts. And as the work comes in, we then, through task orders, dispense out that work. And this is essentially to pay for Alex Campbell and the HBL team. I think most of you have met Alex, who sits next to me in my office, is kind of our in-house planner on the MDRT.
He sits in the office next to you.
Yes, he sits in the office next to my office when we're there, when we're allowed to be there. next year, we have a lot of work coming before you in the budget document, and I've talked to a lot of you about it. You've seen our work plan that's enclosed in that. There is a lot of work going with it. Alex has been with our team for 5 years. HBEL has done superior work for us. We have been to a lot of hearings and a lot of contested hearings, and we've always not had anything reprimanded back to us to do with the hearing examiner. So we look forward to the council supporting this contract so that we can fulfill our obligation under the development agreement.
Council Member De Leon.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and make the motion to adopt resolution number 20-1395, authorizing the mayor to execute a professional services contract with AHBL Incorporated for part-time planning services through 2021.
Second. Is there any further discussion, Mr. O'Donnell?
Yeah, I'll just make a quick point that, you know, I did look at the contract. And so first of all, I've worked with AHBL in the past. It was quite a while ago, so I don't think there's a conflict of interest. But I only mention that because I know that they're a high quality firm, and I'm sure that they are serving the city well. I don't think I've met Alex yet, but I'd like to meet him. And I also looked at their hourly rates, and they're very competitive. Their professional service billable rates are pretty good for the talent that they have there. So I have no problem approving it. I think it's a good decision to have them on the city team.
So is there any further discussion? All those in, excuse me, Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, just a very quick comment. I think with that in mind too, in addition to the rates, I really think of the importance of that continuity when we're planning something this massive in scale and this complex, to just have as many folks on that team who are as knowledgeable about it is going to be a huge asset. And to me, I think that's another case of cost savings because of the kind of work that's been able to be done through this team. So in addition to just the rates by themselves, I also see that as in terms of savings, because we do have really seasoned folks who are working in this city. So that would be my only other thing to add on to, I think, what Councilmember O'Donnell was mentioning as well.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Mr. Williamson. The next item is a resolution extending interlocal agreement with the cities of Covington and Maple Valley, and Mr. Hannes is going to address that for us. You're muted. You're muted.
Much better.
Right.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Here tonight for you, we have for your consideration an amendment to an interlocal agreement that we've had with the cities of Covington and Maple Valley. Basically, it allows us to share staff or equipment in order to get some maintenance projects done. A few years ago, we did a project with them, crack sealing. We did crack sealing in all three cities. So we lent staff to those cities while they did work on their streets. They brought staff to Black Diamond to do work here. It worked out really well. As part of the agreement, we do what we can to make everything balanced. If we're not providing as much staff, you know, maybe we'll give more time with our staff and that sort of thing. It's worked really well. It's not something we've used much, but it's nice to have, especially if something comes up where there's just a great mutual benefit to all three cities, that this amendment to that agreement will just simplify things for us to get more work done. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. I mean, this certainly seems like one of those things where when we all do better, we all do better. I'm curious, just because of winter looming right around the corner, does this interlocal agreement also pertain to things like snow equipment and things of that nature? Like to keeping our roads cleared?
Yeah, it's something we looked at in the past. I know during a snow event, you know, everyone's using their equipment, but they might have supplies like de-icer or salts, where if we run out, we could go get some for one of the other cities if they have a surplus. We get it, you know, at a fair, reasonable price from them. You know, there's no profits involved because we're all government. So it just simplifies things if something like that does come up.
Thank you.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
So this amendment really is just a 4-year extension, right? We've had two before that, 2012 and 2016, and this is just, it's 2020, so we need another 4-year extension?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to make a motion to adopt Resolution 20-1396, authorizing the mayor to sign a third amendment to the interlocal agreement between the cities of Maple Valley, Covington, and Black Diamond for joint public work operations and cooperative purchasing, which extends the agreement until December 31st, 2025.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Mr. Linehan.
I just wanted to clarify, I believe Councilmember Wisnowski asked about a 4-year extension. It's actually 5 years, just to make sure everybody knows that it's 5 years. So that's all.
Thank you.
I want you guys to think it's only 4.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. So it's time for department reports. Chief Smith, do you have a report? Chief Smith, are you there? Well, okay, we'll just move on. Does anybody else want to make a department report?
Hey, Andy, since you're here, could you give us a report, an update on the triangle?
Mayor, is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. So I emailed the council members, all of you, a schematic and a layout of the triangle. And it has been out going through the SEPA process currently right now. I think the SEPA process goes through and until the 30th of the month. The design that you currently see that's out of there, SEPA, does have WashDOT's channelization and their planning. It has our transportation planning work has been done on it. So for us to get it to that point there, generally you send out SEPA documents and you go through a project when it's very basic. But on that project, because it's changed so much and we have had the team working on this for 3 years on the roundabouts, that this interim fix was proposed and WashDOT was, you know, really excited about it. So we moved forward with that. So what this project is, and I sent you guys also the schedule of how the projects would go, what phase one was, what phase two is, and what phase three is, because obviously we know that Highway 169 is, you know, kind of the main arterial in our town, and we got to be cautious with how we do this. So, the first phase is the split intersection, which is a stop sign controlled, which will provide the sight distance from the Ravensdale Black Diamond and Roberts Drive, which is a level service F there right now and our highest collision point. So ultimately what we'll do is that will be a slip lane coming from Maple Valley to, if you want to go to the library, that lane will still be there. The other half of that lane will be removed. The lane that currently you would come on Roberts Drive, you'd use a slip lane and go up to head to make Enumclaw, that slip lane will also be removed. And we're squaring it up. So there's one, instead of having 3 points coming at this, which is quite confusing to a lot of people, because now people are more hesitant at the Roberts / Ravensdale crossing. They're going up to the Enumclaw slip lane and then turning on their blinker and going left there. So in motions, we're having multiple people trying to turn left against traffic, and it's very dangerous. So that's where we are at. So our intention is to get through SEPA, to get through, you know, whatever has to come through that, to then finalize and issue the permits. And our goal is to start mid-January. So our goal is to start that project mid-January. We're analyzing the traffic now, but if we are able to essentially, what we're proposing is to close that intersection down, right? So people would have to then detour like we did for the Roberts Drive water line, that we could get that project, unless something catastrophic happens. I always got to coach these times when I give these. We believe we can get that done in 4 to 6 weeks. So, or if we keep it open and we're dodging cars and the trucks and all that, we're looking at a 3-month project, right? So that will be the first phase, get that done. And a lot of the work that we need to do ultimately there will ultimately help when we build the roundabout. So it's phase one, right? Do you want me to go into the roundabouts, Chris, or does that kind of get you where you needed to be?
Yeah, I just wanted the, well, you can if you want to, but I just wanted the information on the T's, the new T at the triangle kind of in the timeline there to get out to folks, because I've had lots of questions about it and stuff like that.
Right, because of the land use sign, I know a lot of people over there, yep. But it is on our city website. It is in the newspaper. It has went through that official process.
Yep, thank
you. Andy, on the roundabout, I know on social media I've seen a lot of people say, why a roundabout? Why not light? So I know why not a roundabout, but can you go into it a little bit?
Yes, Councilor D. I would have loved to have put a light in there. I would have had a light in there 2 years ago. Unfortunately, development agreements are only a two-party binding agreement. It's between the City of Black Diamond and Oak Point. In this situation, the third party being the state controls the state highway. So as we work through the channelization, which we had all planned and we had all the traffic movements done, the state, and this is statewide, not just our region, the state adopted a policy that you had to first prove a roundabout wouldn't work because they didn't want the long-term maintenance costs of the signals and the all those things. So we had to then go to start analyzing ultimately, you know, how do we now build the roundabout? Then the conversation went to, well, if we're building a roundabout, why build a little roundabout and then tear it off and then come back in here whenever and then tear everything? Can we do the ultimate? And so we have been in negotiations and back and forth with the state for numerous years. And almost you, I update you periodically. Matter of fact, we're meeting on November 30th with them again on it. And we're getting very, very close to what we believe will be the ultimate configuration there. And then we'll move through the CEPA process, getting the permits and all that done. So we're not at the point now, but by the time when we get to it with these large projects, we've all been working on them for so many years with our transportation people and stuff, that issuing the permits isn't technically a hard issue from the civil side or from the transportation side because they've been studying it for 3 years. We finally have this set of plans approved by the state. So that's where we are on the roundabouts. It's the state's call on the roundabouts. People will question you, well, why here did they allow to put a signal? Well, generally where there's a signal being allowed, it's where there's already been a signal. So they're just remodeling it. Because I've heard a lot of people down there by where the new Starbucks is in Maple Valley. Well, why does that have a signal? Well, there was already a signal there where, you know, the state's very concerned about, you know, collisions caused by signals, by rear ending, by this. So we have been meeting with the regional head person for the state on this for numerous years with his team. So we feel we're at a really good spot and we're hopeful that we do this first phase. The second phase will be the stormwater big vaults going in ultimately. And then the third phase, which on that schedule I sent you, will be us moving forward on building the roundabouts. Right. And I would ask, when we do that, lots of patience. Please be patient.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Mayor, this is Chief Smith. I'm here now.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Yeah, I'm coming via phone from one of our satellite stations and narrow bandwidth. So I'm going to keep my camera off. A couple quick things. the design team for Station 99, we met again just the other day, and I think that project's come along very, very good. I think you're going to be very happy with your new fire station once it gets built. The other thing is, the reason I'm down here and Chief Judkins is back at the office, we've had a couple of on-the-job exposures to COVID. So we're dealing with that. We just found this out at 4 o'clock. So we're dealing with that tonight. She's up speaking with the on-duty captain, looking at what our staffing looks like over the next 2 weeks and arranging those for people to work overtime. So we're trying to scramble to get that in place. We've been lucky so far. This is, you know, out of all the months we've been doing this, this is our first at-work exposure. So I think we're doing pretty good. The one thing we are not doing this year that we've done every year is the holiday engine, and mostly that's once again COVID driven. So what I wanted to let everybody know and ask is that the Black Diamond Community Center is taking donations from 9 to 3 Monday through Thursday every day, and because we, you know, typically we would get a couple thousand pounds of food, canned food, and several hundred dollars. And so we won't be doing that year. So I would encourage everybody to that gave to the Holiday Engine to drop by Black Diamond Community Center and make a donation 9 to 3 Monday through Thursday. And I think that's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. So time for the mayor's report. I attended the skateboard meeting, and we had all three of the King County boards together, but then we broke out into breakout rooms and discussed our legislative agenda for each three of the boards. And anyway, so we modified the Highway 18 to be a complete project from I-90 to Issaquar-Hobart, like we were talking about doing on ours, and the chamber. And I haven't gotten theirs back from the chamber yet, but when I do, I'll send it out to you. And then you might want to form a committee to, we're going to take the culverts off because we've already got the grant money for the culverts. So we're going to take that off, and that will give you room to put the mental health information that you wanted to put on it. So anyway, we should have that in the next couple of days or so. But anyway, all the different boards and organizations that I go to are all working on their legislative agenda. And tomorrow's Sound Cities Association is having their work session about their legislative agenda. And we always endorse theirs and AWCs and our local communities. So anyway, I will be attending that, and well, whatever comes out of that, we'll bring that to you at our next meeting. So now it's time for council reports. Council Member Deedy.
Okay, so I attended the Public Works meeting, WIRA 9 meeting, the work study, skateboard I attended as well. But the last half hour, my computer died, so I didn't get the last half hour of that. I just wanted to go into a little bit of the WIRA 9 meeting. They had, of course, they're going through their agenda and also asking for everybody to support the floodplains. Let's see if I wrote it down somewhere. But anyways, the floodplain. So we had a group, high school students from the Duwamish Valley Youth Corps. They took samples from Georgetown and South Park, two neglected areas, and took samples from trees, from the moss off of the trees, and then sent the samples to a Minnesota lab. And they came back with high levels of arsenic, lead, chromium, and something else. I'm not sure what it is. But they were saying that if that is on land, then of course that gets into our water, so into the farmland, and then gets into the river. So they have a website and it's www.duwamishcleanup.org. And their quote is one river, one community, one home. The two that presented, it was Faith and Leonie. And then they had a gentleman there that was helping them and they were really good. So I would suggest that everybody go check out their site and see what they're working on. It was fascinating. So please check that out. Let's see. So then I attended Patty Hayes, who is the director of public health. She had a briefing on COVID-19, and that was right after the skateboard meeting. I know Mayor Benson would have been there if her computer hadn't been hacked into. So she would have attended, but she didn't know about. That was really interesting to me. As we all watch social media, we all see on our Facebook, you know, we all see both sides, everybody's frustrated and COVID-19 out. So the reason for this last 4 weeks is, so for the largest community spreader is in the last 60 days exposure is of course social gatherings with friends and family. They said that's 27% of the cases. Second is restaurants and bars, that's 16% of cases. And then often it's other cases, but what they're finding is that if you get COVID, you don't always remember where you were within the last 2 weeks. And not everybody wants to tell that I was at so-and-so's house or I was at this store, or I was at my friend's store. So people aren't always wanting to give that information. So they're not always getting the full data of where everybody's going. But once they get some sort of data, like the exposure at people's houses or friends or the restaurants, and they can compile that and say, okay, here's where those cases are rising. There is a pretty good outbreak at MultiCare in Auburn. They're dealing with that now. The hospitals, of course, are gearing up, and some are at capacity, you know, that they just don't have COVID patients. They got other patients that need care. And with more COVID-19 patients coming in, that fatigues the staff, your nurses, your healthcare workers, all of them. Spokane is in the worst shape. They are taking COVID patients from Idaho, and in doing so, the rate in Spokane has also gone up, not because of patients coming in, but just because social gatherings. So they're needing help, and all the hospitals are working together. They're all supporting each other. So that's good to know. One of the things she talked about, I'm not sure, maybe Aaron would probably know this, but they said they were opening towers, which are negative pressure rooms to put patients in. Normally, I guess these are closed, but or for emergency only. So those are starting to get opened. She did state that they weren't planning on opening like Quest Field or anything like that. When COVID first hit, immediately they went into protective mode, I guess, and opened those up for overflow for hospitals. Luckily that didn't need to be used, but it was there and they were prepared. They're prepared now, but at this time they're not opening those facilities. Deanna Dawson from SCA sent a memo, just a recap of what that meeting was, and I thought it was worth quickly reading what she had said. And Brenda, I'll send this to you if you didn't already get it, so you don't have to try to my words. So she said, a few items to update you on today. Executive Constantine, along with Public Health Officer Dr. Jeffrey Duchin and Director of Public Health Patty Hayes, held a briefing on COVID-19 crisis and the sharp increase in new cases driven by new cases among young adults. The daily average number of cases has more than doubled in the past 2 weeks, from an average of 40 new cases in mid-June to 87 new cases the week of June 21st. Constantine, Duchin, and Hayes called upon community leaders to help spread the word that the risk from COVID-19 remains high and to take preventive measures seriously. Dr. Duchin stressed that this will be a long-term crisis and that we are not going back to normal anytime soon. Community leaders, including elected officials, we were urged to help spread the word about the need of continued vigilance and to commit to sharing information on social media and through other channels on a regular basis. And you can find social media tools on public health websites. Messages to communicate include the need to wear face coverings when you go out, wash your hands frequently, use alcohol hand gel, whenever possible, keep 6 feet from one another, get tested at the first sign of illness, avoid gatherings with people outside your household. Public Health is hosting a training on COVID-19 dashboards and how to use them on July 9th. And council members, you can register for that event through SCA. So I just wanted to read that so that we all know. One of the things that she did ask is that all elected officials make some sort of announcement, you know, what, you know, because we're leaders and people follow, you know, what we say. I know that Councilmember Stout posted something about a Hawaii convention and people were, you know, saying, well, you know, if you're asking us to stay home, then everybody needs to stay home. Don't travel, don't, you know, social gatherings. So I'm staying home. I'll be with my parents, but I take care of my mom on a daily basis. So I see her every day. So I'll be with her, but it's a tough time. And they're just asking, you know, let's just have one Thanksgiving where maybe we're not all together, but we could do it through Zoom. And then hopefully, you know, the next holiday, hopefully Christmas, it could be a little bit better. Obviously they'll know what the outbreak is after Thanksgiving. If nobody listened and everybody did their own thing without, helping, then in 2 weeks, then we'll know if the cases skyrocketed or if everybody did help, and then hopefully the cases will be low. So that will come to fruition then. The other thing on why we're nine, Councilmember Stout can't attend the meetings. There are only 4 or 5 meetings a year. So if council members are interested, you can go ahead and email Mayor Benson and myself and just let us know, and we can let the directors at YRA 9 know who else on the Council of Black Diamond would like to be on it. And then quickly, just so I was at City Hall helping Brock pick up some of the items from the grant, and just to let everybody know that the mailboxes for council member and the fire department are pretty full. They're overflowing. So if you get a chance, maybe you could contact Darla or somebody at City Hall and have them put your items outside so you could come grab them. And then one more thing, we did get a letter from Rosemary Konoski Bigelow, I think is that how you say her last name. And she asked again about getting her road paved sooner than a couple of years out, or her letter stated that she has to use a walker now to leave her house, and her road is a gravel road. It's about 250 feet or 300 feet from to the nearest sidewalk. Her husband Bert is also in his 90s, and you may see him walking occasionally outside, well, every day outside with his little dog. They walk up to the post office. I would just like to see, you know, we're all talking about ADA needs. This is a family that's been asking for quite a while to get their driveway paved. So maybe within the next year, we can look at that and hopefully get her road paved. I know there's very few roads in Black Diamond that are gravel, and hers being one of them. And it certainly would be nice to see her be able to get out and push her walker, and for her husband to scoot along on a road that's, easier for them to manage. So hopefully with that, then Public Works and the mayor and directors can all figure out and see if that's possible to do that 250 feet or 300 feet and get that on the budget to get at least that portion done sooner than having all of it done at once. So it's just a thought, and hopefully we can send her back something to acknowledge that council has read her letter and that we do care of her concerns. So that's it.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I don't have much to talk about, but I do want to encourage people that can make it out to support your local small businesses. The day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday. So if you do choose to go to your big grocery stores to get all your presents, I would say take a second look. Look at your small businesses around you. They are family-owned businesses. They do use their businesses to survive, restaurants, et cetera. So I just want to encourage people that do feel comfortable to go out, to do go out and support local businesses and buy your Christmas gifts local. That's it.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Oh, yeah. So we've had a handful of working sessions and meetings and over the last bit on a handful of things from the lease to the budget. But I want to remind folks that in the packet for today, today's meeting is some of the detail around how the taxes that we get as a city or that you pay as a property owner in the city go. And there's a really good pie chart that May has put together that really shows, you know, I think everybody thinks, wow, I pay, you know, $5,000 a year in taxes in the city. And well, we get like 20% of it. So, you know, it's a really good kind of eye-opening pie chart. There's a lot of good info in the attachments for today's meeting for folks to go through and look at how your property taxes go. Let's see. It's bad. I'm getting old. I have to adjust my glass to see my paper. I think I want to, you know, reaffirm that we need to step up and start planning for the future around a facility space. And I recommend that we stand up an ad hoc or something in the beginning of the new year to start those discussions. Want to remind everybody to stay safe and stay healthy out there. You know, just, you know, it's simple things like what we would normally say around flu season, right? But this time it's a little bit different. Wear a mask, right? Keep your social distance. If you don't feel well, don't go out. If you don't feel well, stay away from people who have compromised health, right? We need to make sure people aren't, you know, frightened, right? We are all going to get through this, right? And we've got to work together to do that. On the working together, right? Remember, the holidays are coming up. Remember those that are less fortunate than you. Be grateful for what you do have as we look at Thanksgiving, right? The day of giving thanks. Don't, you know, complain about what you don't have as much as you do. You be grateful for what you do have. I will most likely be participating in some homeless feeds over the Thanksgiving holiday. Andy, thanks for the update on the triangle. I know that it's a big topic around town. Everybody's wondering, when are we going to do something there? And what's going to happen? I would say, you know, if you run into a first responder, thank them. It's kind of timely with Chief Smith saying that they've got a COVID exposure that they're dealing with now, right? But remember, we've got a lot of nurses and folks like that that work in those front lines in our communities. Give them a thanks if you see them from a social distance with a mask on, and wash your hands too, right? You that kind of stuff. But also local businesses, I think, you know, Melissa brought it up. You know, one of the things that I've always found great, because sometimes people are like, well, I don't know what to get my friends from a local business. Well, give them a gift certificate, right? Most of our local businesses will give you a gift certificate, and then they can use it when things get a little more normal. But it helps out our local businesses, because remember,
When you help out a local business, you're not paying for some CEO's multi-million-dollar salary, right? You're paying for some kid's ballet lessons or new shoes or Christmas presents, that kind of stuff. So shop local. Just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. I know we don't have a meeting next Thursday because it's the holiday. And I know lots of folks take time off, and though most people aren't going anywhere this year, enjoy yourselves, enjoy the company of the people that you are with, and be grateful.
Councilmember Stow.
I've attended all of my regular committee meetings, public works and budget, finance and administration, also the two work studies. I also attended the Sound Cities Association Racial Equity and Justice series. It's the last one for this year. And the topic this time was campaigning and running for office as a Black, Indigenous, or person of color, and the struggles that those individuals have. There was a panel of people of color who are elected officials, and they talked a little bit about their campaign experience. And honestly, we're asked to not share outside of the group necessarily, because we are in small groups, and they are pretty open about their stories, but they have asked us to keep their stories in those groups. So it's not taken out of context, but I will tell you that I was brought to tears by one person's story about his experience campaigning as a Black man. And the point of the series was that people of color are underrepresented in as elected officials, if you compare the population to the people serving in elected positions, and that it's incumbent upon us to be supportive of people of color who might be willing to step up and run for office. And if we have the opportunity to take them by the hand and introduce them to people in our community and help them in their campaign. And so I would certainly be willing to help and support. I had a lot of support from people in the city during my campaign. It made all the difference in the world. And if we can watch for people, or even, you know, we have a big election cycle coming up next year, where in May, it will be time to file to run for office. And we might be thinking of people in our neighborhood who may hold back a little bit because they may feel not as accepted in the community as, you know, people who have either been here for a longer time or look more like all the rest of the majority of the community. So keep that in mind if you feel like there's someone that you can be a mentor to help and support in their efforts to serve in the community, not necessarily on the city council, but we have the Planning Commission, we have various boards and groups. So it was a really good what's it called? An event. And there will be more in the coming year, but this was the last one for this year. You know, I don't think that we ever thought that a virus would be a political issue. But this coronavirus has become a political issue, and it's a little strange to me. But none of us are going to change anybody's mind. There are two very deep sides to opinions about the coronavirus. And I'll just share you my opinion. And I think you probably know how I feel about the situation. There are sick people and there are dying people. We have four young people in our church group who are positive for coronavirus. One of them, so these are my churches for youth, or not youth, young adults from 18 to 30, and we serve in a support position there. And so these aren't 75 or 85 year old people. These are people, I know one girl who's in her mid 20s. I've been keeping in touch with her. She's been to the hospital twice. She said that, I asked her how she's doing yesterday, and she said she's gotten to the point where she thinks she can stand on her own without support and get herself to the restroom. This is a really, really, really sick girl, and she's in her mid-20s. So, you know, there are some very weird stories out there about like, oh, well, it only affects old people. Well, my old people are really precious to me. And the two people I know who have died have been in their 70s. One of them was a bodybuilder and a personal trainer at a gym. And the other was a very healthy 74-year-old whose hobby is to challenge everybody to a 100 push-up challenge. And so those are the two people I know who have died. It's not a joke. It's not made up. It's not, you know, plandemic. It's a real virus, and it's not the flu. It's something that no one has immunity to except for the people who have had this virus this year. You know, the wedding in Ritzville that had 300 people that ended up with a huge outbreak of coronavirus. You know, I don't think any of us think that we're having 300 people over for Thanksgiving, but many people I know are considering having two or three or four or five households gather together for Thanksgiving. And you're just asking for trouble. Maybe you won't be very sick, but somebody else might be really sick as my little friend or my two friends who died. Please think again. Please be creative. Please think of ways that you can celebrate that won't harm you or your family or your community. Once back on the WIRA 9 that Councilmember Didi mentioned, I can't go to those meetings because they interfere with the Budget and Finance Committee meeting. And it's good to have two council members attend. So if any of you are available to attend that meeting, so it would be, I think it's like every other month on a Thursday afternoon. So it would be good if you could step up and take that place if you're available. And that's all I have to say. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. I guess first of all, I'll just start by saying that I'd be curious to know more about the meetings that were just discussed or just referred to. So if anybody would like to follow up, just send me an email or call. I'd be glad to know more about how I can get involved there. Similarly, I think to kind of kick off the rest of my short otherwise council report is just to send my condolences to you, Councilmember Stout, and to others who have lost people in their lives, and especially as a result of something that none of us really saw coming this time last year, especially not to this degree. And, you know, I think that really does show why to do anything we can to curb the spread is an act of love. And it's an act of love to the people in our lives, and it's an act of love to the people who really just make our lives better. You know, and I think of healthcare professionals, and I think of folks like, you know, our first responders, like our fire department, and having to work directly with folks who also have COVID. And as somebody myself who has been working outside of the home this whole time, it's really scary to know that you're having conversations where we just, you know, whereas it's a matter of time, and saying, and living with that uncertainty is a little concern. You know, it's mind boggling. And to know that people are working additionally to try to cover and help for those who either experienced, you know, or might have COVID or are caring for somebody who does, really throws a wrench in so many things. You know, there's such a ripple effect to what's happening with the coronavirus. And to know that all of this does end up impacting people's lives and our economy, because I can't say enough about how much really things come to a standstill and come to this halt when individuals, you know, are not able to come to work, or businesses, you know, are not able to, you know, support their community because there are call outs, because there are these unforeseen incidents where all of a sudden business as usual just can't be. And so I do absolutely ask, you know, please, you know, wear that mask. I know it's not the most comfortable thing. I know it's not everybody's favorite thing. I understand. I know. But wear it. You know, stay 6 feet apart. And I know this is really difficult because this is the holidays and we're so tired of all this. And we want that kind of joy to be able to spend that time with loved ones. And again, just because they are our loved ones, please consider plans that can really show that you care. And so I know this is hard, but if we can just stay home this 1 year, and I'll just reiterate that like others have, the hope is then that sooner rather than later, we can actually be united again and be able to hopefully build things that are even better than what we've had right now. Because this has been such a great, not great, I should say, but this has been a monumental, that kind of great, opportunity to really relearn and be creative about new opportunities. And with all this stress and all this difficulty, and it's not easy for everyone. It's not easy for anyone. So I would just keep that in mind. Just to reiterate, you know, the public health officials who are saying this, it's not bringing them any joy either to make these announcements, to be the bearer of bad news that your Thanksgiving plans might go together as you'd like them to. But this is for making sure that we all can operate again in a way that I think does make us feel more comfortable in the long term. So with that, I would just reiterate, please follow the public health guidelines. It's not because any of us would want to, it's because it is so that we can have something better in the future. So otherwise, I attended all of the meetings that were there to be had. I attended the Public Works Committee meeting, all the work studies. And I look forward to seeing everybody again next time. Please stay safe and healthy out there.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. I have 4 points I wanted to make. First of all, to Chief Smith and his crew and with the COVID situation, I hope you guys are well and stay safe. And that really goes for all of the public employees, for all the city employees that, you know, it's a public service. And I want to make sure that, you know, while people are out there with public service, that they're being safe. And thank you very much for your service and the time that you commit to the community. Point number two, public comment. I just want to acknowledge Kristen Bryant. I did read her email and her letter and thank her for her comments today. I'd like to, I'm working hard to get a good handle on the development agreement and the fees and, you know, what kind of updates need to happen there. Same with the school impact fees and how we're tapping into those funds, you know, so that we do have the financial resources to afford a growing city and making sure we're supporting the services that we need to support. Point number three, I just like to second what Councilmember Wisdowski has mentioned about having an ad hoc group, somebody that can talk, maybe a group that can talk about, you know, kind of the next step on the long-term planning for the government facilities. I'd be happy to be a part of that. I'm also encouraged about the idea that maybe sometime in the early spring we can get together and maybe have a council retreat. I'd like to talk more about the facilities and the long range planning. You know, some of the other things that we might be able to visit mid-year with a budget update that Ms. Miller had mentioned is typical that might happen, you know, in past years. I know that we had talked about when I was appointed, one of the questions that had come up, you know, what is your opinion about the city administrator and should we have one of those? And I feel like for us as a governing body, I want to make sure that we are all making informed decisions along the way, because there's some really difficult, very technical decisions that we need to be making as an informed body. And so I would welcome a discussion on that. And that's not to diminish anybody's, intelligence on that. If it's anything, I would like to be more informed. And so I think with a city administrator, that might be able to help us in our city workforce. I'd like to, maybe in this retreat or in the coming session, as we are looking at the budget and we need to push this through, but I want to hope that we can step back at some point and really think about right-sizing our workforce so it's sized in the right manner for the growth that's projected in the next several years. And then also, really, I know we're always fast and furious. It would be great if we could have some in-depth discussion on some of the impact fees and the development fees and what does that mean to the community and how we fund our services. And then the last fourth point I want to make is that I agree with Councilmember Oglesby. Let's support the small businesses out there. I won't be doing it on Black Friday. That is Apple Cup, and I will be rooting for the Huskies. So, but the next day, I promise I'll be out there supporting the small businesses. So with that, thank you, everybody, and I hope you have a nice Thanksgiving.
Councilmember Page.
It's your report, Steve.
Steve, Councilmember Page, it's your report for council report.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm technically challenged at this point in time. I don't have anything to report, so that's all I have.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Councilmember Deedy.
If I can add just some that I forgot to talk about from Patty Hayes really quickly, and I think it'll be good to add this. She talked about the vaccine coming out and that by sometime in December, there'll be a first dosage that comes out. She talked about how that will be administered. So of course, first responders and healthcare workers will be the first ones to get that. And then it'll go to our military. And then it goes to citizens with chronic illnesses. And then it goes to your 65 and over age group. And then by summer, it'll go to the general public. So I just also wanted to let everybody know, that's what she had stated and how that all comes about. So when you hear all there's a vaccine that comes out in December, that doesn't mean that everybody gets to run and get it. That means that your first responders, your healthcare providers will be the first ones to get it. And as supplies continue, then it goes on to the next. She did say that it's really good. The two companies that are making this vaccine is a 90% effective. So that's really high she was excited about that. And of course, at the time, then you'll know also any side effects, just like any other shot you get, you understand what any side effects were. But she said that one of them stated that it was mild, if not any side effects. So I just wanted to add that to my report. Thank you.
Do we have an attorney report?
Just briefly, Mayor, I just wanted to, I guess, perhaps plant a seed with the council that something that will be coming down to you probably early next year. As you may recall from our discussion involving the school impact fee ordinance, there is a prior agreement between the City of Black Diamond, the Enumclaw School District, and the master developer Oak Point called the Comprehensive School Mitigation Agreement. And that is sort of a very elaborate collection of commitments, both financial and otherwise, between Oak Point, the school district, and the city for making sure that there are adequate school facilities to serve the new growth in Ten Trails. That comprehensive agreement, as you may recall, was negotiated and agreed to both before the master plan development permit was approved and before the development agreements were approved. So the parties were flying blind just a little bit when they were putting that original agreement together in terms of some of the specifics that would eventually make more sense down the road after the MPD permit and the development agreements were agreed to. So in light of all that, and now that the development has been progressing pretty far, a lot more development has happened, a lot more specifics are now understood. There's a lot better idea about what makes sense from a layout perspective, from the school's own needs, what they think their financing capabilities are going to be, how many schools or what type of facilities they're going to need. They have a lot better understanding of that now. And so I just wanted to raise this one issue that the school district and the developer have been working together over the last few months to try to come up with a way to revise and refine that comprehensive agreement that better reflects current reality and the status of the development and their anticipated future growth. But because the city is a party to that agreement, the city will need to sign off on the certain aspects of the changes that they are talking about amongst themselves. I've had initial discussions with the school district's council and with Oak Point's council. We're kind of working through what those changes are going to look like, which of them would affect the city and would require the council to sign off on. And I think probably over the next, I'm guessing 60 days or so, we'll get that ironed out and have that ready to bring to you so that you can get an understanding of the types of changes that would make sense and that the city's priorities are protected as that agreement gets amended. So just wanted to put that out there and on your radar screen. And for anybody who has any questions in the meantime about that current agreement and the types of things that conceptually will be changing, feel free to reach out.
Thank you. So we don't have an executive session. I just wanted to remind everybody to have a very safe Thanksgiving. And one of the things that in one of our mayor's meeting that we talked about was that you don't have to fight with your cousin or your brother-in-law over your specific piece of turkey, and you don't have to fight over who makes what side dish, and you can have exactly what you want to have in your own home exactly the way you want it, and just be safe. That's really important, to be safe.
Agreed. So with that, I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.